Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's been with us before. Former Indians pitcher who I first met in 1993. Paul, you might remember. I know you remember 93. You won't remember meeting me. 1993, you were pitching for the Charlotte Knights with Chad OJ, and Charlie Manuel was on that team, managing that team, and the whole Hee-Haw gang, and I came down to Charlotte and did a story with you guys. It's Paul Bird. Hello, Paul.
How's it going? I do remember that. Gosh, what a great year that was, 93. Jim Thome was on that team.
Yep.
Manny Ramirez was on that team.
Sandy Alomar for a little while.
It was crazy. And then with Charlie as, you know, the manager, it was really like being on a big league team. So I was young. I was 22 years old. I just sat there and listened and learned a lot. I will never forget when Manny Ramirez took batting practice. He came up and, you know, he's kind of awkward. He hit off his front foot. He hit the ball the other way. His first round looked like he was like halfway trying. And then he went into launch mode and just started smoking balls, pulling balls over the hill, bat speed like no other. And Charlie turned to me and looked at me, and he's, because I'm a pitcher hitting fungos up by the cage, and he says, "Hey, Birdie," he goes, "you know what you do when you see a guy hit like that and you're their pitching, you're their hitting coach?" And I looked at him. I go, "No, what do you do?" And he goes, "You leave him alone." I was like, "That's pretty good," because, you know, his swing was a little different. Like I say, hit off the front foot. But I thought that was, and I learned something that sometimes being a really good coach is just leaving somebody alone, you know, when they do things unorthodox, but it works.
Yeah.
So it was good stuff.
That ball made a different sound coming off his bat, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I mean, it really did from when, you know, because I was with Manny in 91 in instructional league when they just signed him. He was the, you know, first pick, and it was the same coming right out of high school. He was just on a different level. So when he got into one.
Paul Bird joining us. Paul, great to have you with us. But it was great to have you come back to the Indians organization later in your career, and I know you've
appreciate that.
Yeah, it was, and you've paid attention to the Indians since. We had some news today with Mike Clevinger undergoing some knee surgery, tore his meniscus a couple of days ago. And we're sitting here trying not to be overly concerned because we have our fingers crossed that there's enough depth in this starting rotation, despite the fact that Trevor Bauer is not here and Corey Kluber is not here and Carlos Carrasco, God bless him, has come back from a serious illness, and now Clevinger's not here. So your top three or four guys, three of them, not here probably for the start of the season. Can't imagine Clevinger being back. What's your philosophy on giving young starting pitching a staff an opportunity, Paul, but in this case, maybe having to rely on them for a while?
Well, what I love about Cleveland, first of all, I love playing there. Thank you for saying me coming back. To this day, my wife moved us 56 times. I have two boys. To this day, their favorite place they played was Cleveland. It was the people. It was the neighborhood. It was going to the park. And, you know, this is after coming from sunny Southern California playing for the Angels. So we played in, you know, Kansas City, super nice place, but my family picks Cleveland. I love the fans there. I loved our experience there. So what do I like about Cleveland? I love your fans. I love your aura. I love that Terry Francona is your manager. He was my manager on the Red Sox. He was my manager with the Phillies when I very first got a chance to start in the big leagues. He's the perfect type manager to have when you have a young player come in the game. I got my start as a nobody in Philadelphia. They were going to start me, send me back to AAA. I ended up beating Randy Johnson that night. I actually got the game-winning hit off of him. I swung for a fastball. He accidentally threw me a slider. I got a base hit, so I was on time. And Terry Francona, after the game, decided to stick with me in the major leagues. The next year, I made the All-Star team. I owe that to Terry Francona because he gave me a chance. And what he said to me in that locker room when things were going well, He said, Paul, he goes, I don't want you to ever get too high in this game. I don't want you to ever get too low. He goes, this game will humble you in a second. And if you ever start getting arrogant and think that the game revolves around you, hold on, because you'll be humbled within a few starts. And he is the perfect demeanor for that. I also like, you know, Carl Willis is there, and he's the same way. I didn't feel like Carl was the best mechanics guy ever, but Carl was a good guy to just relax and take things easy and more of an approach guy, which I appreciated very much. So you have good coaches up there in Cleveland for those young guys to get going. And, you know, depending on how bad that meniscus is, and I did read that today, it'll be interesting to see how quickly Clevinger can come back.
Well, we were having a discussion before you came on. The statistics have changed. The way front offices look at offensive players and defensive and pitching, obviously, has changed over the years to the point where wins and losses don't seem to matter. But to an old-school guy like you, they still matter, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's a shame. You know, pitched with Maddox here in Atlanta, covered him even, you know, at the Hall of Fame and as a broadcaster. And, you know, he said something. He said, you know, I probably wouldn't even get drafted today. And here's one of the greatest pitchers, if not the greatest pitcher of my generation, who's saying I wouldn't even get drafted today. So what a shame. So it's just different. People value velocity differently. Guys don't throw as hard. I mean, guys don't throw as long. Because they throw much harder, I think, and there's more focus on that. So there's more importance of bullpen. The middle relievers come into play a little bit more, and the game has changed. But I certainly would love for teams to not forget about the other intangibles and getting a guy on that staff that is a little different, a little goofy, throws in the mid-80s, and can mess some people up in different ways, not just velocity.
Paul Byrd's joining us, former Indians pitcher. Changes this year, Paul, and give me your thoughts on it. I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play out. I wonder if pitching coaches, if managers know yet, the three-batter minimum. And I thought, yeah. All right, so if you've got to pitch to three guys, I'm thinking that this could lead, let's say a guy, you get the first out, and then somebody comes up and doubles. And then there's a right-handed – two left-handed hitters coming up, and you're a righty on the mound right now, and you want to go with a matchup left-hander. I could see intentional walks getting boosted like crazy. All right, let's just put that guy on base, set up a force, and then we're able to make our pitching move. I don't know anything. I'm just thinking maybe that might be part of this. How do you think this is going to play out, and do you like it?
So, no, great questions. I would agree with you. I think it is going, you know, the lefty specialist is kind of in trouble now.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you won't carry him. You're going to have to bring him in with two outs because he doesn't have to get out three hitters if he can end the inning early. If he doesn't get that guy out, that's where you're going to, you know, there's going to be a little bit of trouble. So I do think it's an interesting rule. I am undecided on it right now. Guys like a Jerry Blevins, a lefty specialist, it will be interesting to see. I do like the fact that there won't be, on certain teams, pitching change after pitching change after pitching change in one inning where the game can drag a little bit. So I do see why they're doing it. I do find it interesting. I'm going to give it a chance. That's the way I'm looking at it. I'm going to give it a chance. It adds a little bit of, the right word, strategy for me, which I like. I like strategy. Yeah, so
different
it adds
strategy.
A little bit of that for me. I'm going to give it a chance.
I'm wondering if somebody like Francona or managers like him, if there are anybody like him out there, I'm wondering if they're going to change their batting order a little bit, maybe to figure what it'll be like getting into the middle innings if you have one of those matchup situations. In other words, a guy who might be a...
I got it. Yeah, you don't want to stack a bunch of lefties together. You're going to throw in righties, lefties, righties, lefties.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that'll be interesting. I could certainly see that happening. Mixing it in there, that could, cause a change in the way somebody would arrange somebody. The biggest thing for me, I think, will be when somebody comes in and it doesn't go as planned, which often happens
sure.
when you come out of the pen. You know, are you going to have, you know, you seriously change the game because you can't bring somebody in who's that nasty sidearm righty.
Or so, you walk two guys. If you walk two guys, then you're in big trouble.
No, absolutely. You're absolutely right. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. So, you know, like I said, I'm going to give it a chance and see how it goes. I honestly will appreciate, you know, even being a broadcaster, and you guys know this, being in media, like sometimes when the game drags, when you see game after game after game after game after game, you notice that. And you want to see good pitchers that throw strikes, that attack, that work fast. You want to see a game that goes by quickly, that is exciting, that has a lot of strategy, where you're thinking about a lot of different things, where at the end of the game you say, man, that was a really enjoyable night at the park. And sometimes when it's like, oh, my gosh, another pitching change, you know, you're sitting there on the side, that can be frustrating. So it will be interesting to see how it plays out.
And Terry Francona, the king of multiple pitching changes in the same inning. So I'm curious to see what that does. Paul, let me ask you this one.
Well, let me say this real quick, too.
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're a sidearm reliever, you're going to you can change. And that was what I was known for as a pitcher, was just adapting. You know, I used to throw harder. I didn't. I had multiple surgeries. I had a shoulder that squeaked like a door. I had to learn certain things to change. And if you're a sidearm specialist like, you know,
Adam Simber,
I'll just keep using Blevins because I don't want to, you know, call anybody else out. You know, you may have to learn something. You may say, okay, I got to start throwing my sinker again to get out the righties. And you can adjust and change. And I think you'll see some of that too. And that's going to be exciting to watch to see who can adapt.
I like your attitude on that. Let's see how this plays out. It certainly will change the strategy, and maybe we'll end up all liking it. I don't know. Riddle me this one, Paul.
We'll see.
How in the world, with all of this information coming out now that people around baseball knew about the Astros stuff, did it not come out while it was going on and get shut down? That's, to me, the most stunning part of this thing right now.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the Astros, I'm going to say Major League Baseball as well, wishes they could do things over again. You know, they wish they had a chance to go back in time and react differently to certain concerns by players and things that were going on. In Major League Baseball, teams are always looking for an edge. Everybody has a different feeling on what cheating is. And I don't mean that as a cop-out. I just mean that people have different feelings on what cheating is in a game where there is many gray areas and unwritten rules and certain lines. The difference in this one is everyone knows this was out of hand. This was too much. This was cheating. This was really, really bad. And it affected the season. It affected the World Series. And it leaves a lot of people with a sour taste in their mouth, a bad feeling in their gut. And I think that baseball, MLB, the players, you know, has some healing to do. And it's going to take some time. But, yeah, so it's a very unfortunate situation. I agree with you. I wish it was handled better. I wish it was handled earlier. And I know a lot of other people feel the same way.
Paul, do you think pitchers will be throwing a little bit inside to some of the Astro players this year? And also, some of those guys aren't even on the team anymore, so you can't take it out on a guy on some other team, I don't think.
Yeah, I can't answer that. I can only answer for myself and say, you know, if I was on the mound, I don't know that I would deliberately throw at somebody. I don't know that that is the best way maybe to handle it at this point. But I would like to see sincere apologies and, you know, and they, even then, that's even tough, you know. And I don't mean that people can't apologize, but I'm saying that going into in-depth of what they exactly did, I don't know that that can happen, because you'll see other people in the league getting called out to say, well, so-and-so does this, this team does this, or even seeing a little bit of that now with Jack McDowell calling out Tony La Russa on the White Sox, how they had a light on the scoreboard. I was in the Indians minor league at that time, as you said, and we knew about that light. So, you know, there are certain things that go on in baseball that, you know, you say, hey, come on, guys, get it together. And, you know, there's certain things that are out of your control on your ability to stop. And I think that it's unfortunate, really unfortunate what happened. But I do think that baseball can survive it, and it will survive with sincere apologies. I thought you started to see a little bit of that yesterday with Bregman and Altuve. And I think that you have to sincerely apologize, be repentant, and move on.
Paul, we thank you for your time today, and great to have you back with us.
Appreciate it, guys. It's a little chilly up there in Cleveland, I'm told. So you guys stay warm, and I'm gonna head down to Florida, and where it's a little warmer, feels a little more like baseball. And then, man, I hope you guys have a great season. I love Cleveland, and always pulling for you guys.
Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Paul. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Paul Byrd, former Indians pitcher, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, now does broadcasting with the Braves on Fox Sports Southeast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.